over, Mr.
Oh, I let you.
Hey, get in here. Dallas is about to start.
Where we talk about the TV show Dallas. My name is Mary.
I'm
Josh. Oh, we did it at the same time.
Okay. Nice. Today we're going to talk about season 2, episode 8, Election. But before we do that, we have a new review on Apple Podcasts that I was going to read.
Oh boy, brace yourselves. let me grab the chair. I'll brace myself.
So, Homeless George said, I'm a 43-year-old guy. Hey, I'm 43, too. Who grew up watching Dallas because back in those days, you only had one TV. And when Mom wanted to watch Dallas, we watched Dallas. But it was a show I grew to love and still obsess over to this day. Love y'all's banter and insight. Keep up the great work. Gary. Awesome. Thank you, Gary.
Awesome.
Not Gary Ewing.
Love that.
I know. Is it Gary? No, Gary Ewing would be a little bit older than 43, I'm pretty sure.
That's true.
Ooh, and also I have a note about an episode, Black Market Baby. And Josh, you are probably going to say, well, duh. But I just put together that, so the actress that you know, who played Rita, what's her name?
Talia Balsam.
Right. I didn't know she was also on Mad Men. She plays Roger Sterling's wife on Mad Men, his first wife. Right. I didn't know that.
She does.
Yeah.
She does.
I 100% didn't notice that till I was looking something up the other day, and I was like, holy shit. Well, goddamn.
And,
and
I'll give a shout out to her and John Slattery's son, Harry, whose birthday is June 23rd.
Well, happy birthday, Harry.
Happy birthday, Harry.
Anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. I would never have put those together in a million years. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Any other corners before we get to the episode?
No, I'm just going to...
Sarah has something.
Two things. Number one, we said we're going to do one episode a week during the summer, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, so, yeah, we should probably formally announce that here, that this summer of 2019, we're going to, instead of two episodes a week, which we usually release two episodes a week, we're just going to release one episode because we are, like, I'm going to visit my family in Michigan, and my cabin is in the middle of nowhere. It's in the middle of Amish country and state land.
I'm going to come build a barn, and I'm going to paint it for you.
Awesome.
And I'm going to be drunk.
You're going to be drunk. Awesome.
I'm going to be looking for something to do because my plan fell through. But
yeah, so we will release one a week, but we're still going to be here. We're just going to be once a week, and then we will make up for it later this summer.
And so, yeah. Depending on when this airs, I'm going to give a birthday shout out to Deb Trinelli, Phyllis Wapner, whose birthday is July 6th.
Oh,
so
cool.
Shout out to Deb.
Happy birthday.
And awesome. If you're in New Jersey through the end of the month, actually this will show up after the end of the month, but she has a play. She's doing The Bridges of Madison County in New Jersey. Started on June 20th.
Awesome.
I would love to see that. I have not read the book, but I love the film.
That's my housekeeping.
Me too.
Okay, cool. All right, so season 2, episode 8, Election.
Just stand up.
No, wait a minute. Stop it.
Money and force seems to be what you Ewings understand the best.
You're starting to sound like that knee-jerk radical brother of yours.
If he doesn't do something, the Ewing family is going to control everyone and everything.
There's bound to be a body in that closet someplace. Find it.
Do you think I would deliberately betray you?
You live with vipers, you become a viper.
I don't know how to fight by your rules, but someday I will. And you're going to pay for what you've done to my brother.
This was written by Rena Down, directed by Barry Crane, and aired November 5th, 1978.
And I'll make this a habit up front and do the casting notes for that.
Yes, please do.
Meg Gallagher, it was her first appearance as JR's secretary pre-Sly, Luella. And Robert Ackerman made his first appearance. And the book said that he was not identified, but they did call him Wade, and it was cartel member Wade Luce. He was in the first scene and the scene where the election results came in, as was Don Starr, who played Jordan Lee, but he was not named in the episode.
I totally saw Jordan Lee. I was excited.
But he had no name.
But he had no name. But we know he's
Jordan
Lee. I mean, come on. Yeah, it's Jordan.
Okay, so you said it aired 11/5/78. Still yes. wasn't born.
And what was your birth date?
11/27. We're getting closer.
11/27.
You and Christopher Ewing himself.
I know. Right. I know.
That is also my nephew's birthday.
27?
Yeah, but he was born in 92, so.
I'm an old fucker. So. All right. So we love Election. Right. I love this episode.
Yes, this is a great episode, I think.
Really gets into the heart of the Barneses and the Ewings and the politics and the this right. and the that.
Yes, and you get to see Cliff. And I love Cliff yes. in this episode. It makes me want to make him a regular, and he is, and yep. I just love it.
Still not in the opening credits, which he will turn up in later in the season for the first time in the opening
right.
credits.
Oh, he shows up later in the season, not even season three.
No, before the end of the season. I was looking ahead. So.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, so this episode is all about, well, what it says. It's about the election. It's about the Senate race. And Cliff Barnes is running as a Democratic contender. They don't say that, but it's heavily implied. Like, mostly, they go over, like, the issues. And what do they call him? They call him...
Very Kennedy-esque.
He's very Kennedy-esque.
Which was obviously dumped after this episode.
Knee-jerk radical yes. brother. So that yes. just makes me think that he's a liberal.
Well, yeah. For sure.
But he's polling really high at the beginning of the episode, and that's worrying the Ewings, because they don't want him elected because they're Republicans, and also because he's a Barnes. Mostly because he's a yeah. Barnes. And they're like, we need to get our person in there, and it seems like very obvious. It's for nefarious reasons. They want a person in there to do their bidding.
And we don't want that Digger Barnes' boy in the Senate.
No. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. And they don't give a shit what Pam thinks.
Which we find out later with that little office scene.
Right. And the fact that then Bobby's like, "Oh, what? You're going to vote for your brother who you are really close to and love, but you're a Ewing now, so you should be doing what we do." And I was like, "What century are you living in?"
Well, you know, he does have some backwards views. He didn't want Pam to work.
Right. Bobby Ewing, I am disappointed in you.
I'm disappointed a lot in him in the episodes.
Jock is always confused when people are missing from the dinner table. I don't have any control over these people anymore. What's going on? Right. I remember a day when we were home and we, you know, chewed right. on the trees and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Super confused. And he does not like it one bit.
Well, I will say that they give him a lot of lines in this episode. I love Cliff. I like this episode.
Cliff and Sue Ellen starting to mix it up a little here. Oh, I just saw your face on that one.
Yeah. They have good chemistry together. You see them talk a few times, and they have really good chemistry.
This cast really has good chemistry overall. It's just...
That's true.
It just bleeds through the screen.
Yep.
Which makes this show wonderful.
And this is a really pivotal episode for Cliff as a character. I think this is the episode where we show who Cliff was. He always was. And I think he was a really idealistic guy who really wanted to change the world for the better. And then what the Ewings do to him in this episode then changes him as a person, where he's like, fuck it. I'm just going to do what I have to do to get ahead, to beat these people, because they're monsters.
Right, and the producers abandoned the whole Kennedy-esque storyline.
The Kennedy thing, yeah. Because it shows, like, I mean, he's bringing his lunch to work, you know? So he's, like, saving money.
And it's not Chinese.
He's, like, turning down big money from big oil companies who want him to win. And he's like, yeah, I could use this money, but I have morals and stuff, you know? You can't buy me.
Right, and he even, you know, he gives a backhanded compliment to Jock, referring to him as a barracuda. I mean, at least we know he's a barracuda, you know, but...
Exactly. Yeah, he's upfront about it. He's not pretending he's anything other than a barracuda.
And Jock, Miss Ellie, is still nagging him about his health in this episode. She's like...
Always, though.
Right, yeah. Because she doesn't want him to die, and he's just like, but I just want to drink bourbon and eat salt.
Right, and smoke.
And smoke, right.
And that turns out really well for you, Jock.
Yeah. Maybe don't go in airplanes. Right.
But when they had that scene in the office, Jock was telling JR, dig up something on Barnes. And JR says, well, if I can't find it, I'll put it there. And Jock's, whatever.
Yeah. And I really think that goes to show, because it's glossed over a lot, because Jock is retired and he's home and he's sort of the old man. But it really goes to show you that JR learned all he knows from Jock. Like, how to be...
Exactly.
How to be a questionable motherfucker, he got from Jock. Yeah.
Ooh, Linda Gray just liked my photo. Thank you.
Yay! Thank you, Linda Gray.
Thank you, Linda. Shout out to Linda.
I love her.
One of my speaking of her, one of my favorite scenes in this entire episode is when they are in the, they're waiting for dinner, they're having their drinks, and they're having the argument before dinner, and Miss Ellie says, would anyone like another drink? And Sue Ellen basically almost jumps out of her chair, and she's like, me.
Anyone that doesn't want a drink, I'll have your drink for you.
Right, give me your drinks. Let me lick your glass.
Exactly.
And we also saw Sue Ellen's ugly station wagon in this episode, which I'm looking at. What do we call it? The fucking wagon. I'm thinking it's the Ewing family truckster, and it's going to Wally World next week. With
the Griswolds. I don't understand. Everybody has a Mercedes. Pam gets a Porsche, and she has the fucking wagon.
That's because Sue Ellen gets shit. JR gives her nothing. I bet she has an allowance. I bet they have all that Ewing money. I bet she has an allowance because he keeps her under his thumb.
That goes back to that line when Ed Haynes shows up, mistaking JR for Bobby, and says, I'm here to talk to you about your wife's past. And he goes, my wife doesn't have a past.
Right, which is why he married her, because that's what he wanted.
She's basically a shapeless piece of clay that he's pulled out of the drawer, and he's molding himself.
Right.
That's pathetic.
But yeah, doesn't want any part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And we see that beautiful season one cast photo on the wall in the den there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Which was taken at the Swiss house, which later turned up as a brothel.
Right. In the new series.
Yes. Oh, Judith.
There's a lot of things. They bring up, in this episode, they bring up both abortion, and they bring up being gay, which they refuse to say, because it was the 70s on television. In fact, JR says, it's a growing phenomena. I don't understand it myself. And I'm like, oh, JR, come on. Like, ugh, whatever.
Peter and Cliff were roommates in college. Peter's volunteering his services.
Now, isn't that unusual? Above and beyond a call of ordinary friendship?
Meaning what?
Well, I'm just interested in the nature of the friendship. That's all. Seems extremely close. Growing phenomena nowadays. Something I can't understand myself.
You mean to tell me that gorgeous Cliff Barnes is...
Well, I don't like the tone of this conversation.
I know I don't.
I just think it's strange. Man past 30. Never been married.
JR, you're shooting blanks with Sue Ellen so far. So is there something going on with you that you are you and Cliff like meeting on the side here? You know,
My God, that would have been the best storyline ever.
there was talk at one point that they wanted to have JR turn out to be Digger's kid. They find out that Digger God. Was
that real talk? Like they were thinking about that?
There, it was thrown around at certain points.
Holy shit, that would have been amazing.
But that would have just ruined everything that JR's motivation was for. And
it would have sent him in such a spiral. He wouldn't know where he was. Like, he would have had to go to all the therapy. He'd be like, who am I? I don't even know who I am. I don't know.
And I just think of this scene where JR and Cliff later in the series find out that they're partners or in some venture, I won't say what yet.
Right.
And they look at where you and me were partners. I could just see them looking at it going, "You and me were brothers."
Right. Like what?
What? Oh, what? That would have been the shoe dropper.
Oh my God. Yeah, that would have been crazy. Yes, I also think this is a very what's the word I'm looking for? It was ahead of its time and a big. I mean, this episode is basically. A pro-choice episode. There's no way around it. This is 5 years after Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
And Cliff is saying, like, yes, she died from having an abortion because it was illegal at the time.
Yeah, back up though. Did we fill everybody in on what came out in this episode for what dirt was dug up on him? Did we?
Right, that's what I'm getting at, that they found
out
that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
This is Kristen Carlson. I'm standing in the main dining hall of the Texas Club, where a benefit is being held later this week for Clifford Barnes, candidate for state senate. Barnes, this reporter has just learned, has been implicated in the abortion death of a young woman who was his fiancée about 10 years ago.
Mr. Barnes, most women's groups favor abortion on demand. Given the circumstances of your fiancée's death, where do you stand on the issue?
Mr. Barnes has no comment at this time.
Well, do you think this will hurt your chances for victory in the upcoming election?
Nothing right now.
Mr. Barnes, your opponent Martin Cole has taken a strong stand against abortion. I'm sure a radio audience would welcome your views on this
subject. I said no comment!
It's okay, I'll have a statement for the press later this evening. I don't have anything to say right now.
Folks, just come with me. I'll call you as soon as Mr. Barnes is ready to hold a press conference.
The thing that ruins his whole campaign is they dig up that Cliff had a fiance who had died from having an illegal abortion, because abortions were illegal at the time. And it would have been like 10 years earlier, right? So it was like the late 60s.
Right. And it was his college roommate, Peter Larson's father's...
Secretary.
Penny Ames.
And he, like, loved her. And they were going to get married. She had just been admitted to law school. And then she found out she was pregnant. And he was like, okay, cool, let's get married. And she was like, I don't want to do that. I don't think I want to have a baby right now. So then he was like, okay. So he gave her the money. And she got an abortion and died.
And this all got uncovered because they were arguing about, you know, and Pam goes, oh, Cliff's not that way. He had a fiance, but she died. She opened the door. JR and Jock pounced. And
they because were like, it, she just doesn't want people to think her brother's gay. Like, that's the whole thing. My brother's not gay. He totally had a fiance, you guys.
It was called homosexual back then.
Right. Well, no, it was called gay, but people did say homosexual.
On television, you had to say homosexual.
Yeah. Right. Well, on television, they didn't say anything. They didn't say any of the words on this episode at all.
No.
Not any of them.
And then you had the angry reporter stomping into the...
the fundraiser.
With that big, ugly, ancient camera that must have caused the guy to like need to go to a chiropractor.
Right.
Those
cameras were big.
Oh, God, they were huge back then.
Mm-hmm. And JR says that he was caught breaking cardinal rule of politics, which is never get caught in bed with a live man or a dead woman. Is that a thing? Is that a cardinal rule of politics?
Well, I guess the live man would go back to the homosexuals, I guess.
Right. That would 100% be like the gay thing. And he was like trying to push for that. Like, oh, maybe he's gay.
Women weren't running for office as regularly back then as they are now. So,
yeah, that's a good point. None of the cardinal rules even apply to women. God damn it.
Right.
I hate the world, you guys.
So then we get to angry Pam going to the Ewing Oil office. I half expected her to come down the street on her horse, because she always rides the horse.
Right, she should have been on her angry horse, yes.
And which brings up another thing. Why is there always a parking space in front of the Ewing building?
You were correct. I've never thought about that once, but you are correct.
Like, they always just pull up and they get out of the car and...
Yep.
And there's always a space. There's like nobody ever parked there.
Right. When there 100% would be people there. Or that's a no parking zone.
Right.
And they just don't care.
Well, then they get, you know, I don't know if they're paying for the policeman's ball with all the tickets or anything like that. But
well, Bobby Ewing knows everybody. He can just call one of his friends at the police department and just say, like, hey, get rid of our ticket.
Captain Novak. Oh, no, he's down in Austin.
Captain Novak. Captain Novak probably knows somebody else who knows somebody else, and the Ewings don't have to worry about that shit.
Right. So Pam goes up, and she's, you know, hollering at them and, you know, doing her, going off on her soapbox and everything like that. And JR says, oh, no, you're not going to use anything against us. You'll use that to protect your own interests. And Pam's like, well, then God help me.
Right.
Which
is true.
It is true. Right. But, I found it funny earlier in the episode when they were doing the little debate, and you had the guy speaking. He's like, "Well, in the words of Jesus."
Oh my God, that guy!
I felt like I was watching a Sunday morning preacher or something like that. Like Jim Baker. Give it to me, for I did not sin. Like, oh yeah, religious talk with the Ewings. That's going over well.
Oh my God. And he said, if Jesus were alive today, he'd tell you to keep what's your own. I'm like, I don't think that, I feel like that's not a thing. I think that's maybe not a thing.
If Jesus were alive today, he'd be kind of old and kind of dead. It's been a long time since he walked the earth, so.
Right. Oh, my God.
He'd be older than Methuselah, you know, so. Yeah. Speaking of Methuselah, it was a nice reference to Senator Orloff early in the episode.
Oh, Senator Orloff. Just keeps coming back. After Cliff loses, and he's just on the phone, and he says, Peter, I've just become a realist. And that's like, boom, mic drop, because that's Cliff's character from now on. He's just, that's who he is. He's like, dropping the mic. Cliff Barnes, dropping the mic.
Dropping the mic.
I like, though, but you go back as the results are coming in, because they're all having that little party, and it's the only time I've ever seen a TV in the living room at South Fork.
They had to, wheel it in.
Yeah, out of the office. And JR is watching the results standing over Pam's shoulder.
Right.
He's getting all excited. The way they block that scene out, it's like
perfect.
Deflated Pam below JR, mm-hmm. just the hierarchy of the Barneses are lower than the Ewings because she's sitting and he's standing over her.
And she's just hating every moment of that. She's just like, this is awful. Ugh.
And Sue Ellen was hating every moment of it, too.
She was.
She came and sat down in the chair.
Yep. And that's what she startled Pam when she was basically like, the wrong man won. And Pam was all like, I'm sorry, girl, what?
Now, wait, dial back just a second, though, because we didn't go over the fact that Cliff thought Pam deliberately undermined him by telling the secret and everything like that.
Right,
he
goes, He doesn't.
You live with
him.
Vipers, you become a viper, which was a great line I loved from him.
It was. And he was kind of a dick in those scenes because he, and I know he was speaking from like a place where like he was hurt and everything, but like this is your sister who's had your back, who is helping you, and like obviously that she wouldn't sell you out to the Ewings, you know?
Right.
No.
And as far as we know, they're the only siblings that they have of each other.
Exactly. As far as they know.
As far as we know. This is Dallas, you know. People can pop out of the woodwork at any time.
At any time.
Half-sisters, whole-sisters,
long-sisters. Could be crazy stalkers sitting in cars. We don't know.
I don't know. I haven't seen it before. I'm watching it with you all for the first time.
Yep.
That's right.
And then we saw what becomes one of his hallmark things throughout the series. Mr. Good Guy there, Bobby trying to be peacemaker at the end.
Between Cliff and Pam, dragging her down to the headquarters. And
kind of doing it in the worst way possible. Like, he should have waited at least like a day. Like, give Cliff time to, like, because he just lost. Like, give him a day.
Nope, because we have to wrap this episode up here.
That's true. We only have so much time.
It's still episodic, and we have to have our full house hugging it out moment at the end there. And, you know, and I'm surprised Danny Tanner didn't show up for that hug.
Like I said, I love this episode. I'm going to have to bow out in a second because I have to go get my son.
Well, I think we're just about done. Maybe we can wrap it up unless there's something big that you guys want to
tell y'all that just like last week I had this like little thing and I did a couple of polls on Twitter.
Yeah, for sure.
And my favorite because I knew Mary would just fucking hate it.
Oh boy, here we go.
I said, who was your favorite Dallas couple? And I listed, of course, Bobby and Pam, Bobby and Jenna, Bobby Tracy, Bobby and April. And Bobby and Jenna got 0, and Pam and Bobby won.
Did anybody
vote for Bobby and Tracy?
Yes.
Because I'm going to firebomb that person.
I know, 13%. And then Bobby and April, which I love, is 25%.
I love them.
I'm doing a write-in of Bobby and Kay Lloyd just to piss everybody off.
Bobby, no, I didn't mind Kay Lloyd. She was fine.
Or Bobby and the Pam lookalike Jeannie O'Brien.
Oh, ugh.
if you're listening, that is just so random because Tracy is way far away, but nobody likes Tracy.
Does. Like who? Like gross. Like I can't believe they.
Tracy and Bobby. You will never like Tracy. Just go ahead and get it in your head before you see the episode. You will not like Tracy ever.
What if you jump to 2012 and say Bobby and Anne?
I had no feelings about Bobby and Anne. Honestly, I thought they were boring. I was not a fan of Anne. I thought she was kind of lame. They were trying to pull a Miss Sully with her, but and she's a great actress, but I just had no.
We love Brenda Strong.
I love Brenda Strong. I think she's awesome. I thought the character of Anne was super lame.
I don't remember.
Brenda, if you're listening, we apologize.
I mean, that's just my opinion. What?
When was Anne?
She's Bob in the new series.
I was like the older. I was like, I don't know, older. Yes, no, I don't that. No,
I just, yeah. I mean, maybe that was just that's just me, and I'm a huge Bobby Jenna fan. And the whole time, I was just mad that we never saw Jenna. Like we saw Ray with no Jenna, and then they try to bring back an ex girlfriend to make Anne jealous, and they bring back Tracy. Like, please.
Everybody likes Bobby and Pam, and then you veered toward Bobby Jenna, and then later towards Bobby and April. That's my thing.
I love April. Yeah. I love April. I think April is amazing.
And the whole scenario, I'm not going to say one word about it, but the whole scenario, and then to the very end.
Girl, yes.
Because if they had known certain things were going to happen in certain years following something, they wouldn't have done a thing that they did, and things would have turned out differently at certain points.
Right. Yes.
But I don't know if I'm trying to remember if we gave the shout out to Brenda Strong's yoga website in this particular.
Right. Okay. What?
It is Strong Yoga. The number 4 in women.com.
Right.
And she is a licensed yoga instructor, and she does fertility issues for women. And
that's awesome.
I just thought we would use an opportunity anytime we can, promote in our things current projects that they're doing. She's been great. She's also been great in Supergirl as Lena and Lex Luthor's mother.
Nice.
And 13 Reasons Why. She plays one of the characters' mothers.
And she's on Twin Peaks.
Jonesy.
She's Jonesy,
Yeah,
so she's awesome. So we love her. I'm not a huge Anne fan, but that's fine. I liked her on the show. I just didn't love Anne.
Because she did.
But I also.
And she did send me.
Character.
Right. And she did send me yoga exercises for my back in the mail. She hand drew them out and she mailed them to me at home.
I love yoga.
And it looked like I was opening Mary Alice's letter that she got at the series premiere of. I'm like, am I supposed to kill myself now? I don't know. And then I'm going to narrate the rest of my life, But so wrapping up election though.
Yes, wrapping up election. I love the episode. I would give it. I guess out of 5 bourbons, I'd probably give it 4.5. For an early episode, it's awesome. Maybe 4.75.
Yes, I love it, but I'm going to give it a 4 because there's many more that I love way more. But I do like it a lot. It's worth watching.
When you said 4.75, I'll go 4.6.
Okay. Yeah, because I think of an early episode because I don't love a lot of these early episodes as much as I love later ones. But for an early episode, I dig this one.
Right.
Okay. And, you know what? For an early, I'll give it a 4.25. For an early, I will. For sure.
Because then they go into a serialized format. But even right after they go into a serialized format, that you'll notice there are going to be a few episodes that still feel episodic.
Yeah,
with
for sure.
certain things that happen, and it's just like, it's like, okay, that happened, and then that's over, and then it's never referenced again, and we move on to this, and but it's finding its footing, it's picking up its pace, and going forward.
Yeah. So awesome election.
And I've been drinking bourbon these past couple of episodes, so as always.
You know, greasier for me.
We didn't mention our drinks, so.
Oh, that's right. And uh-huh. I'm drinking some red wine, some local red wine.
Oh, cue up the UB40 there. Red wine.
I love red wine. I was actually at, I should plug my local winery, is Sigillo Cellars. It's the tasting room is in Snoqualmie, Washington. And it's delightful, which is one of the towns that they filmed the show Twin Peaks in.
And I saw on your social media you were down in the falls on a
yes.
hike.
Yes.
Did you stop in at the Great Northern to see Ben Horn at all?
I often stop in at the Great Northern because I, for those of you out there, I live in one of the small towns they filmed Twin Peaks in. And that's one of the reasons I moved here, because I'm a psychopath. But, yes, I often go there.
You are talented.
And, yes, I go there. I go to Tweed's Cafe, which was the Double R Diner, way too much. And yeah, it's awesome. And yeah, on Father's Day we took a hike down to the bottom of the falls, and it's amazing and beautiful, mostly at this time of year.
And did you see Ben Horn at all, or Jerry Horn, or anything like that?
I wish. No, I think Jerry Horn was high in the woods again.
That's right. And while we're at it, tell everyone where you went that is not going to be there as of July 5th.
Right. So the high school that was used as Twin Peaks High School in the pilot, and it was has now officially shut down, and they are demolishing the school because they built a new one. The reason is good. This town has grown. It's over double the size it was when they filmed Twin Peaks here.
It's not 52,201 anymore?
it is not. it is a much bigger town. And so they needed, and also like it, they were a number of small towns together, and they all used that high school. So they needed, and the high school was falling apart. They needed a new one. So I get why they did it. But of course, it's always sad when a landmark, like an awesome filming location like that, gets torn down. So I went in and I took a bunch of pictures of the inside. It still has the red on the stripe on the wall, just like in the pilot episode. And it's it's awesome.
Was that you dancing through the hallway there?
Yes, I did. Video? I did the little hallway dance, like from the pilot episode of Twin Peaks and everything. And yeah, actually, my son was the last person to do that, and he's 15.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I'll have to actually dip out right now, so I'm going to go ahead and say bye, y'all.
Okay,
I have to go.
Bye.
All right.
Next week, next episode. Can't wait. So y'all have fun.
Next episode is called Survival.
Oh, Survival. Yes.
I know. I like it. Get ready. Lots of comments.
Where Jer's wardrobe comes in handy, finally.
Exactly.
Yes.
Bye, y'all.
All those extra
Sarah.
Pockets. We need those pockets. Bye.
You're talking about like tearing down like a location from a shoot.
Yeah.
And there was talk at one point, you know, for Dallas fans that Bush Sr. was one of the people that wanted to buy up South Fork when it was on the market, and he was going to turn it into condos. He was going to demolish the whole. And there has...
I knew I didn't like that guy.
There has been talk in recent years that because the current owner is getting elderly, I think he's in his 90s, the son doesn't want it, and he could potentially dump it on whoever buys it up first for whatever they want to do with it.
Oh, my God. No.
But, you know, people have told me that, and I go, well, you're just assuming that whoever comes in to buy it is going to be someone that's going to destroy it.
Like, there's so much other places to do that, you know?
That's valuable land, but they're just assuming that whoever the buyer is someone that's going to want to destroy it, and not someone that's going to want to preserve
it. Right.
So you don't know until.
Oh my God, we're starting to GoFundMe now.
But so far, nothing has happened. Nothing's happened. They did close out. They did unload the South Fork Hotel. That's gone.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, but you can see around South Fork there is housing.
Yeah.
Encroaching in on it a little bit, and when you go around back and you drive by Ray and Donna's old house, it's now a two-story house, And they do not want people stopping to take pictures. They will destroy you.
I didn't realize that that was a real house that was on the property.
It is. No, it's off property, but behind. And at the 30th, we were asking Steve Canale about it, and he's talking about, oh, yeah, you could, back then you could look straight across the pasture back there, and you could see it across the across the way there. And then they've developed around it. And another hidden gem from when I was down there, one of the tour guides took me. There is a South Fork Trailer Park, and they have a replica of the house. It's like around the corner and off to the, like the right or something. You go down some roads, and if you look it up, like South Fork Trailer Park or something, or you will see pictures of the replica of the big house.
Replica of South Fork.
Yes.
That's, oh my God, I have to look that up this second.
I will pull some pictures and we will put them on the
Facebook page. That's amazing.
Yes.
Holy shit. I did not know about that.
And I will put a link to the their website so you can
see
it.
So cool. Oh my God.
We actually drove through it, and all the like streets and everything, or the development, they're all named after like Ewing characters and everything like that. So it's kind of kind of a little tourist hidden gem that you might want to check out next time you're down in Texas.
Next time I 100% will. That's so cool.
We're planning a field trip if anyone wants to come with us.
Field trip. We are totally planning a field trip, road trip. Yes.
Yep.
Someday.
And I think what we should do, though, is they have the up your way. They have that. I know you don't like the whole thing. The Twin Peaks Festival that they do every year.
Right. Well, I actually spent a long time going to the Twin Peaks Festival, but I choose to not because of moral issues with the people who run the festival. They're not very moral.
There should be some people down in Dallas that do that. You know,
there should be a Dallas Festival, yeah.
There should be. We want to throw that out there. Whoever wants to kick the tires on that and see
Holy
where it
shit.
Goes.
Let's do it. Let's do a Dallas Festival. That would be amazing.
We could get, you know, cast members could show up and different things.
Yeah. That would be so cool.
Could arrange, like, have like a tour of all the locations they shot in the area. And, you know, one day it would go up to, like, the Ewing Building and Thanksgiving Square. And
Thanksgiving,
Maybe Billy Bob's in Fort Worth. There could be a party at night or something.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like
throwing it out
wherever,
there right now.
Wherever Cliff's apartment was and Jenna's condo and Mandy's place.
Do you notice another thing I noticed, speaking of Cliff, you could ride by his gold offices. I've noticed in the opening credits that those buildings are in the opening credits years before they're used as his offices.
That's a
foreshadowing. If you just pay attention to that. Yes. So that's my trivia for the night. I've run out of trivia.
Cool.
I'm done.
We're done with trivia, and we're throwing out a Dallas festival. So, yeah, let's start that shit, because I want that to happen.
Well, the yearly Ewing
Tell
barbecue.
Tell me what I can do to help. Oh, my God. Yes, the real Ewing barbecue. Let's have a Ewing barbecue, you guys.
We can call Sally and Lucretia down at South Fork, and they can help us.
Oh, my God. We could have, like, the little, like, rodeo thing that they do or whatever on the side.
We had
Dusty used to have that.
When we were there for the press junket in 2012, they did a mini rodeo for us. And they actually put me on a horse. I have a picture of me on a horse at South Fork.
They could have like one of those mechanical bulls like Jenna had before the oil baron's ball that year. Yes.
Oh yeah, when she wore that blue sequin
top and like the white hat, which is all it. And her feathered hair was glorious. Yes.
Yes. Back around the time when they had Pam and Mark
mm-hmm.
and Cliff and Afton in Mark's car the morning after her divorce.
Yes.
On the side of the road.
I can't wait till we get to those episodes. Those are like the best of all of them, I think.
Oh yeah. All right, so.
All right, well, I think we've done it for this episode, and we're now just looking ahead towards amazing episodes to come. So Yeah, please, let's come just talk about those episodes if you want. Like, all, what are your favorite episodes and stuff? Come and tell us on our Facebook group, which is Ewing Barbecue Podcast. It's going to ask you, like, a couple questions just to make sure you're a real person and not a bot, which I'm assuming you are if you're listening to this. And, yeah, we're having a lot of fun in there. And we are on Instagram. I tried to post some, like, memes that are funny to me. I hope they're funny to you. On Instagram, that is under Ewing BBQ. And on Twitter, we are BBQ Ewing. And, yeah, please review, rate, and subscribe.
5 stars only.
Five stars, please, 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 you guys. And just, like, write on there. Because if you do that, that really, like, helps other people find us. And that's really important. And also, tell your friends. You know, you have a friend who likes Dallas, so let them know.
And 5 stars is the number after 4.
Right.
And 2 after before, 3. And, you right. know,
and before 6, 5. But 6 isn't on there. So, yeah.
We can invent 6, but no. We won't go there.
Right, right, yeah. So please, and I think that, I don't know if there is a, someone asked on our Facebook group about rating on Stitcher, and I actually can't figure out how to rate on Stitcher. So if you just want to head on over to Apple Podcasts and give us your review, that would be super awesome, and we super appreciate it.
I know, so, I do.
Yeah. So awesome, and we will see you next time where we're going to talk about JR having an actual use for his safari outfit. So until
with
then.
With the many pockets. Hopefully he put things in the pockets.
All the pockets.
Mm-hmm. All the pockets, yes.
All right. See you next time. Bye.
Bye, y'all. He should have had cargo pants, too. That would have been
fun. Shit. He should have had cargo pants.
I am sure that you've all heard by now. But I just wanted you to hear my side of the story. First of all, it's true. Penny Ames and I lived together for several months before she became pregnant. Peter knew her. She was his father's secretary. And Penny's dream was to enter law school. Saved every nickel toward her tuition. And she just passed her entrance exams and found out that she was pregnant. I wanted to marry her, but she said that we weren't ready for a child. So I borrowed money and went to a doctor who had been recommended to us. And you know the rest.
Mr. Barnes, why didn't you get her to a hospital?
Because abortions were illegal at the time, and you couldn't just go to a hospital and have it taken care of properly.
No. But why did you keep it a secret? I mean, you should have known that someone would find out.
The secrecy was out of deference to Penny's family. They were very religious, and they wanted it kept quiet.
How is this going to affect the campaign?
Well, it's too early to tell. See, what Cole is saying is that I was involved in an illegal activity that contributed to Penny's death. Well, insofar as abortions were illegal at the time, he's right. Can't deny that.
What do I tell everybody when they call? Phones haven't stopped ringing.
But you can tell them that I'll have a statement for them this evening. Or, no, wait a minute. You could tell them the truth. You could tell them exactly what I've told you. Because I love Penny, and I wanted to do what she wanted to do. And it just didn't work out. That's it.